Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined by Paul McGuire. His website, paulmcguire.us, as well as you can search Paul McGuire on YouTube. Between his site and the YouTube, he puts out some of the best content, analyzing the current world of geopolitics and the spiritual side as well. And we're joined also by Mike Kerf, one of the organizers of HearTheWatchman.com. www.hearthewatchman.com. That's the site where you can go find the schedule, sign up for the live streaming, find out the information, as well as get the, with the promo code Hagman, you can get the $50 off ticket prices that are still ongoing for those who are latecomers.
And you can go to, HagmanHagman.com and click on the link and right to Hear the Watchman. Before turning it over to our guests, I just want to thank everyone. First of all, thank you for tuning in tonight, and thank you for being part of our extended family. Thank you for believing in us, and thank you for your trust in us. I really want to say that. And I also want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to be quiet. Everyone senses the lateness of the hour. Paul McGuire has done a wonderful job in articulating through his books and his upcoming book exactly what the plan has been all along, what the present is right now, and potentially what the future holds for us. But one of the things that he does very well and artistically, I mean, unbelievably artistically, is inspire the Christian audience, the Christian community. And this is a message tonight of inspiration. Please understand that. Because you see, we've been told to occupy, we've been instructed, I should say, to occupy in until such time as we no longer need to do that. Well, occupation is not a passive activity. You can sit at home, for example, and you could say, well, you know, I'll watch the live streaming, but that's fine. But here's in my view, here's the real thing. If you in your heart, if you are a Christian listening to this tonight, and you believe time is that short, then I would get everyone that you know, and gather everyone. You know what? Everyone that you care about. How's that? Because if you care about them, truly care about them, you will embrace them and say, please come, you know, watch this with me, because you'll get a sense of not just how late it is, but what we can do, because I know what some of these speakers are going to be talking about, what we can do and what we need to do in, as Christians ourselves, so our children and their children will not ask, gee, I wonder what Grandpa, or I wonder what Dad, or I wonder what Great-Grandpa did during the persecution of the Christians of 2016 and beyond. Well, there's your answer. And I just believe, again, divine mandate, fellowship, so important. And I'm just so proud to be a part of something that is proactive in a Christian fashion. Paul, I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Well, Doug and Joe, you know, the Hagman Report, the first thing I want to say is that you guys don't heap up a lot of applause for yourselves. And I think one of the reasons people really love you guys is because you're just so real, you know, unpretentious. And God is really using your program to touch a lot of people around the world, and God is using your program to do all kinds of things. And I think the number one reason for that is that both of you gentlemen get out of the way, and you treat your program like it's God's program, and you allow Him to move through it. And then you choose speakers and topics that I think reflect the heart of God. We are at the most critical time in our nation's history. I'm not the only one saying that. A lot of people are saying that. And certainly there's a ton of secular analysts who are saying that 2016, 2017 is the most critical time in America's history, because the choices we make in 2016 and then to some degree 2017 will lock us into an irreversible course of which there's no turning back. And we're either going to have some kind of biblical revival, some kind of third great awakening, some kind of preservation of freedoms, and that's why it's important that every Christian votes. We will either preserve our freedoms and preserve our economy, or we will empower an individual in the political arena that will move us into a totalitarian state where we'll lose our freedoms, our economy will crash, and like you said, Doug, you know, let's talk about that for a half a second. The agenda of putting the internet in international control is so that if the United Nations or whatever international body they choose takes over the internet, then they can say, okay, no more Christian preaching because Christian preaching is hate speech, or no more talking about capitalism because capitalism is hate speech. And then the our elected representatives in the United States can just wash their hands and say, well, it's out of our control, you know, it's the international body that's making all the censorship. So they get to play the game of allowing dictatorial censorship while at the same time saying, well, it's not our responsibility. So it's a strategic move for the purpose of censorship by simply moving it out of the hands of U.S. control and putting it into foreign hands. But putting it into foreign hands guarantees censorship, and specifically censorship of anything that's not politically correct, and censorship of Christianity. So we need to be very vigilant. Our freedoms are, you know, they're up for grabs. And we don't know how long we can do live streaming. We don't know how long we can broadcast on the internet, so we need to be faithful and take advantage of it while it's here. Now, I want to say one thing, I believe the reports that are coming in is that there's a ton of people that are very excited, and they're signing up for the live streaming, and they have purposed in their heart that they're going to invite their friends and family members over, and that some people plan to pack out their houses and invite everybody they know to come watch the conference live streaming in their house. And what a great opportunity. I mean, every church, instead of having some sermon that is politically correct, why not put up a big screen and subscribe to the live streaming, and invite your church to watch the entire conference, and that's just a powerful tool, or a Bible study or a prayer meeting, because this is a powerful tool. And if people are really faithful, they won't just invite one or two people, they'll pack their houses or living room with people, because there's a lot of people starving for the truth, a lot of people starving for the truth. And if you invite all those people over to your house to watch, and use a little salesmanship, be excited about it. And again, I'm a big believer in offering dessert, coffee, popcorn, soda, whatever it takes. Jesus did it. So invite everybody over. And if you're tight on money, then charge, you know, $2 a piece. Say, you know, I'm tight, I lost my job or whatever, you know, but look, help me pay for this $2 a piece or whatever, and some people will just kick in for the entire amount. So the money, if you're not doing it because of the money thing, well, that's just an excuse, because the money thing will, if you will step out in faith, the money thing will solve itself, and somebody you know will spring for the cost, or at least most of the cost.
And Paul,
so
if I can,
that's solvable.
There's a few emails I've read just since the start of the show. People who have the money, who just don't have the electronic means of paying for it. They, you know, they don't have online banking or a debit card checking account system that they can order online from. And I would say, you know, to take what you're talking about tonight, if there is other people in your area, and if there's anybody who would be interested, you know, take the money to somebody who has an account and ask them, you know, would they like to be a part of it, and you'd pay for it. Because, you know, the people, the two emails I read wasn't about the issue of money. It was the issue of how to actually pay for it without using a electronic means.
That's a very good question, and you just answered it very well. Because if somebody doesn't have the electronic means of paying for it, every single person listening knows probably 20 people that have a PayPal account or some other account, and all you have to do is write out a check or give your cash to that friend, and that friend can make the electronic payment for you. So that is like a, you can solve that problem in 60 seconds if you make a phone call. Because you may not have it, but everybody around you does have some kind of electronic account. And you can pay them cash or check, and they'd be happy to do it for you, especially if you ask them nicely. And they'd be happy to do it for you. So you can solve that problem easily. And you should not allow that to prevent you, because people don't mind doing that at all. Now, the other thing is, there are some people who say, and they're in the minority, but there are some people who say, well, why aren't they doing this for free? Why is Mike and Jeannie, why are they charging for the live streaming? And I just want to answer that briefly, okay? Number one is, they didn't ask me to say this, but I will say this, and that is, they have gotten into debt personally, financially. They have gotten into a debt for a huge sum of their own personal money, because when I prayed for Mike at the Paradise Mountain Church prayer meeting, he went out and obeyed the Lord, and he took his own money, got into debt to finance the conference. So, I mean, he is putting everything he has on the line to pay for the conference out of his own money. So how could anybody who's sane criticize him for charging the most minimal price for live streaming and a very minimal price for the tickets to attend the conference? They can't criticize him, because he's gone into debt to pay for it, and he's in the hole right now, and he's trusting the Lord. Now, the thing is, let's be grown-ups here. Renting a hotel in Dallas is very, very expensive. Renting the television equipment so they can live stream is very expensive. The cameramen, the lights, that's very, very expensive. The live streaming technology itself is expensive. So everything, and flying in all the speakers and everything else is expensive. So it costs money, because renting a hotel room and camera production stuff and everything else is expensive. It costs money. So somebody's got to pay for the money. I mean, God's not going to send an angel down and make it miraculously happen. So anybody who complains about the fact that there has to be a charge is being dishonest to the Lord and dishonest to themselves. Because what do you want him to do? Go bankrupt to do the conference? That's not right. And then number two is, let's really be honest. I would guess, and this will make enemies between me and some people, but you know what? I'd rather be Jesus's friend than your enemy. And so I'm going to say it in love, but if you hate me for it, I'd rather have Jesus's approval than your approval. And the reality is that most of the people criticizing the fact that there's a very, very minimal charge for this, you're not being entirely honest, because you spend money on things in your life that you don't think a second about. And you'll go out and spend all kinds of money on all kinds of things that exceed this, and yet you're complaining that a Christian ministry should have the minimal funds to pay for major expenses. It costs money for hotels. It costs money for television. So let's kind of, like, you know, grow up and get beyond that. Nobody's getting rich on this. You know, people... It's just amazing to me. I know the Hagmans. I know most of the other speakers. I know my own life. I know Mike's life and his wife's life. I know what they do. I know how hard they work. I know how hard the Hagmans work. I'm not asking for anybody to feel sorry for me. But for crying out loud, you know, Paul McGuire works, and you'll think I'm lying, but I work 80 hours a week, okay? 80 hours a week. I do the job of about 25 people, okay? A lot of times when we send packages out of our house, you'll notice that they're handwritten. Why? Because my wife and I, or maybe one of our children, are up till 3 in the morning mailing out packages, licking the stamps with our own tongues, forgive the germs, handwriting the packages in pen after a full day's work. And I lift the books. I stock the books physically. I do everything. I'm the janitor, okay? And a lot of these guys do the same workload as me. So, you know, unless you walk in my shoes and some of the other people's shoes, stop criticizing us, all right? I'm not complaining. I'm consider it a privilege to do what I'm doing. So how about supporting what's going on? And guess what? There are some of you that God's blessed financially. Why don't you write out a larger check to this ministry of the conference so that they can pay all their bills? And you see, if enough of God's people would write out checks like that, then they wouldn't have to charge anything. Enough said. I just want to encourage people to do this other thing, which just came to my mind during the break. Not only do I want to encourage you to invite people to your house and sign up for live streaming, but I want to challenge those people who are willing to be obedient to the Lord. Now, not everybody wants to be obedient to the Lord, but I want to challenge those people who are willing to be obedient to the Lord to at least send emails promoting the live streaming and encourage your friends and family and people you know in the United States and around the world. Encourage them to sign up to this thing. So you multiply it. So not only do you invite people to your house, but you encourage friends to sign up and take advantage of it and live stream. Because I tell you that everywhere I go, every conference I speak at, when I hold my own church meetings, I get a continual stream of people who tell me that they're dying spiritually, that they've left their church because the pastor doesn't preach on anything that's connected to reality. And there's a lot of hungry spiritual people out there. And if you'll kind of like get in motion and use your social media and emails and spread the word about this, then they can sign up and be blessed by this. Because we're in critical times. Right now, I'm in the process of finishing this book, A Prophecy of America 2016-2017. And it's like giving birth to a baby. I agonize it. I stay up at night praying. I ask the Lord to speak through me. I cry out to Him to give a message in the book. And I believe the Lord is giving me a message for Christians about what to do in 2016 and 2017. There's a tremendous message of hope and revival, not fake revival, not fake hope, but there's also a very tough message on how we got into the mess that we're in. And some of it deals with the church. And I go into great detail, probably more than anyone's ever done before, of how the church has been infiltrated by change agents over the last 100 years that came out of the Frankfurt School established by cultural Marxists in Germany in the 1930s, and how they strategically infiltrated the church and the theology of the church. And the church has been undermined by a Trojan horse from within. And it has become powerless because it, for the most part, did you know, I was doing research today for A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. This has been going on for a long time, over 150 years. The great evangelist Dwight Moody said that 85% of the people in his church were not truly saved. Billy Graham said 85% of the people in the churches in America are not truly saved. Another evangelist and large pastor said that 75% of the people in his church were not truly saved and going to heaven. A guy named Dr. Criswell, formerly the Baptist pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States, said that something like 69% of the people in his church were not truly saved or born again. So we're talking about evangelical, so-called Bible-believing churches. So if, let's say, on average, 75% of the people who attend evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing churches are not truly born again and not truly saved, that's a real clue to why we're having the problems we're having. And then you have to ask yourself the question, well, why aren't they saved? And I would say to you, it's because the pastors are afraid of preaching the truth of God's word, such as, you know, unless you're born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're afraid of preaching the truth of God's word because they're afraid of losing faith. big tithing money. So that's one big problem we have. And then we have been infiltrated by what, you know, this sounds conspiratorial, but that's not the issue. The issue is that it's true. Beginning in the 1930s, the cultural Marxists of the Frankfurt School have infiltrated the evangelical church, the seminaries. They've been financed by Rockefeller. And what they have done is, instead of having a guns and bullets, a communist revolution in the streets of America, they decided to create what's called a cultural Marxist revolution in America. And the church is the central battleground. And political correctness is one of their primary weapons. And they targeted the church, marriage, and the family. And when you look at this fact, which I document in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, you take a guy named Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker, it was a business management guru. He was called upon by the major corporations of America to increase their profits and to implement management theories and techniques. Well, the heads of the seeker-friendly church movement went to Peter Drucker, I believe it was in the late 70s, and they wanted to get his methodology and strategy for church growth. And they began to use Drucker's strategies, and some of them were good, like, you know, don't have 45 minutes worth of announcements, get right to the preaching or the worship. Well, that was good stuff. But when you dig into Peter Drucker's past, you discover he was a cultural Marxist influenced by the Frankfurt School. He was deeply involved in the New Age movement. And so what you have, and I have full documentation about all this, you have the people that have developed the methodologies and the strategies and the marketing principles for the seeker-friendly churches, for the church growth movement in evangelical churches, and you know, major denominations, Christian denominations, the men who developed these church growth movement programs, and the men who are teaching pastors on how to build and run a church. All of these men, number one, are not saved. They've never been born again. They're not getting their knowledge on how to build a church from the Word of God. And number two is, a very large percentage of them are not only not saved, but they're deeply involved in the New Age movement, or they are, their marketing strategies comes out of the cultural Marxism of the Frankfurt School. So you have the evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing churches essentially being led by unsaved men and men who are cultural Marxists. So is it any wonder that the current statistics regarding Bible-believing evangelical churches are that 94% of all young people who are born in evangelical families will walk away or reject their faith in Christ by the time they enter college? 94% will reject their faith in Christ by the time they enter college. This is not an accident. It's because a Trojan horse has infiltrated the Christian church and undermined it from within. I can turn on television. I can go into just about any geographic area in America, and I can go into large seeker-friendly churches. Whether they call themselves seeker-friendly churches or not is irrelevant, but they're using the seeker-friendly methodology of preaching and church organization and church growth. And I listen to the pastor preach, and he will preach not from the Bible. Oh, he'll throw a couple of verses in to make it sound like he's preaching from the Bible, but he won't preach from the Bible, and he will essentially give a hodgepodge of humanistic, psychological, motivational sermons. Now, that does not produce discipleship. That does not cause people to be born again. That doesn't allow people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't make people live holy and pure lives before God, and that doesn't set people on fire to change our nation. It creates essentially compliant, non-thinking, passive, robotic people who will follow the dictates of a totalitarian state. And that's where we are. I mean, this is why America is in crisis. America is not in crisis because of the Republican Party. America is not in crisis because of Hillary Clinton. America is in crisis because the Church of Jesus Christ has lost its salt and its savor, and the Church of Jesus Christ has rejected the Word of God and has become unfaithful to the Word of God. The central problem in America today is not economic. That's a reflection of the central problem. The central problem in America today is not moral, and it's not political. The central focal problem in America, from which all our other problems stem, including the trade treaties, including migration, including terrorism, including economic crisis, all of our problems in America come from a central point, and that central point is that the Church of Jesus Christ in America, God's people, have rejected the Word of God. Essentially, they're worshiping idols, maybe not little statues of Moloch and Baal, but they're worshiping the gods of personal peace, prosperity, materialism, sex, or whatever. The Church of Jesus Christ has rejected the Word of God. It's following false gods. Therefore, it is devoid of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the central problem in America. Right now, if we were to look at America as a spiritual battlefield, and if we were to ask ourselves the honest question, why is America in a moral and spiritual free fall of decline? Why are we on the verge of losing our religious freedoms on the internet and everywhere else? Why are people who talk about, you know, global government being profiled as terrorists? Why do we have migration with Syrian male terrorists into the United States? We could go down the list of all the problems of America, and there is one reason for it, and that reason is that the body of Christ, or the church in America, has been compromised. If the church in America, even just a remnant church, and I believe this is the message that's going to emerge from this Hear the Watchman conference, I believe that the speakers may minister on many different topics, but I believe that this central theme is going to emerge from the Hear the Watchman conference, and that is this, that if we were to look at America as a spiritual battlefield, the reason we are losing the spiritual war is because the Church of Jesus Christ is no longer worshiping God and no longer obeying His Word. If a remnant church, and this is the other message that I believe that is going to emerge, if a remnant church rises, and that means a minority of true believers who love Jesus Christ, if a remnant church emerges, even though it's in the numerical minority, let's say it's 15 or 20%, if God by His power, and that's why this conference is so important, because the Hear the Watchman conference is a avenue by which the Holy Spirit can move with power and instruction. If a remnant church of 15 to 20% rises in America, then the spiritual battle can be turned. It can be turned 180 degrees. If there are just 15 to 20% of dedicated remnant church Christians, that will radically change every spiritual battlefield sector in our society. Media, politics, morality, culture, everything will be changed if we have a red-hot, on-fire remnant church. So right now we're in this flow state of consciousness of, you know, like America is disintegrating. And yeah, at the moment it is disintegrating. But if a mere 10 to 20% of a remnant church will rise and be faithful to Jesus, the inertia, the mathematical inertia of spiritual power from on high, the dunamis, that will come into the earth through the believing church will push back the powers of darkness at every spiritual battlefield juncture, and we would see in a relatively short period of time a significant rolling back of the powers of darkness over every spiritual battlefield in America. This is not going to happen because we elect one particular Republican or whatever. It's going to happen when a remnant church, a minority of the church, gets right with God through repentance and we ignite a third great awakening. We can live and we can see a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle. And I really wish that the people of God would embrace the reality of that truth, because all things are possible with God. And if we receive power from on high, we will unleash the power of God upon our nation. And there's nothing more powerful than the power of God. And we can see this turning of the spiritual tide in our nation. No, God isn't going to put pixie dust over America, and it's not going to be like a Christian Disneyland. I'm not saying that. But we can see the spiritual battle turned. And I think people need to renew their mind with the Word of God and allow the satanic strongholds of despair, cynicism, unbelief, and pessimism to be dismantled in their minds, because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I believe that the demonic powers have erected strongholds in the minds and hearts of Christians, which are precluding and blocking them from seeing just how powerful and just how almighty God is. Remember, Joshua and Caleb said, as they looked at the promised land filled with giants, they said to the Lord, they offered him a good report, they said, "We are well able to take the land." Now, if God's people would come to him in worship and say to the Lord, instead of, "Oh my God, what happens if Hillary wins," or whatever, if we would worship the Lord and if we would say to the Lord, "We are well able to take the land, America," imagine what God could do.
Amen.
Well, that was so well said. Amen. You know, and thank you so much for the words that you've spoken about here, the Watchman. You know, folks, you know, Paul is truly anointed. He's an amazing man, and you know, Jeannie and I were just obedient to the Lord, and we have faith and we trust the Lord, but it still takes footwork, and we need all of your help. You know, if you look at the name of the conference, it's called Hear the Watchman. So you may at times wonder, why is it that over the last 6 months, every time we turn around, these guys are all talking about Hear the Watchman? It's because they're watchmen, and they're back in off the wall, and they're telling all of you to gather, because time is so short. You know, we are at the point. If you're not right with Jesus now, you are in real trouble. And, you know, when you come to the conference, I mean, you're going to have the ability to be baptized if you're actually there. But if you're doing the live streaming, and Paul puts it so well, you know, we're trying to bring the family together. And so, you know, bring them over to your house. Bring them into your living room. It's time for all of us across America to crawl up out of a hole and to come out here and put our arms around our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you know what? We're going to need this family. I assure you, and Paul will back me up, that we will all need this family very, very shortly. And that is why, you know, Hear the Watchman is here. That is why it's not, believe me, and I don't mean to say this, and I don't want anybody to get upset with me, and I don't want you to think I'm saying this in the wrong way. Hear the Watchman was the absolute only choice that my wife and I had to do for the last nearly year of our life, because we were going to be obedient to what Jesus had told us. And no, it wasn't, like Paul mentioned earlier, I didn't hear an audible voice. Jeannie didn't hear an audible voice from, you know, but it was in our heart, you know, in our hearts. And we want to convey that same feeling to all of you. We want it to be in your heart to serve Jesus, to to bring the family together, to help one another. You know, it's so easy to criticize. And you know what? I'm telling you, folks, I am number one, numero uno, guilty of criticizing. But I try every day. I get down on my knees and I pray to the Lord to help me when I start the day. Help me to serve Him, to serve all of you when it comes to the conference. But, you know, I'm going to just give you a little piece of Teddy Roosevelt, and I'm going to butcher it, but I want to apply it to this conference. And, you know, the critics don't count. You know, it's the men like Paul McGuire and like Doug and Joe Hagman and like all of our speakers and Steve Quayle. It's the men in the arena with the blood and the sweat pouring down their faces, the tears, the scars of battle. Those are the men who know. Those are the men that are, they're not stuck in that gray twilight between success or failure, you know. And they would all rather fail valiantly than not try at all, you know. And that's what we want all of you to do. We want all of you to get up off the couch and try, you know. Stop criticizing. Stop attacking each other and cannibalizing, you know, one Christian cannibalizing another Christian. Stop it. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus wants us to love one another. He wants us to join hands, and He wants us to stand for Him and Him only. You know, and so, you know, I'm so honored to be, like I said earlier, with my wife, Jeannie, and, you know, and Paul, I appreciate everything you said. I truly do. You have to understand it. When Mike went into debt, what it really means is Jeannie went into debt, you know, and it's my wife who really put up the money for Hear the Watchman. I mean, you know, sure, we're married and all that stuff, but it came from her, and God bless her for that, you know. If you want to talk about a strong Christian woman, she backed her husband. She stood up and said, Jesus told you to do this, then I've got your back, you know. And that's what we need across America. We need husbands and wives. I mean, even though Jeannie and I battle, but we come together with God, and we need to come together as husbands and wives and to serve Jesus and to just bring it back home, because the end is coming. And you know, Jeannie is she'll laugh at me sometimes because I still, you know, from time to time, when I just get so overwhelmed with all of this stuff, and I'm just going to admit, I'm kind of addicted to this show called House of Cards about the White House and all that, and I just find it kind of fascinating how corrupt the whole thing is, you know, but you know, the time's coming, the time that you see all this stuff that Hollywood's doing that John Robertson talks about. What an amazing thing that he talks about, and the way that Satan tries to come in and take control of all of us. And, you know, it's time to make a stand. It's time to draw that line in the sand and say, this is it, Satan. This is it. I will not allow you to cross this line. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. So incredibly grateful to be.
We are so grateful for you guys. But you know, I just want to interject one thing, and again, then I'll shut up. when you were talking about the name Hear the Watchman, I don't know how many neighborhoods have neighborhood watch programs. Many do. I know many do. If every listener of this program considered themselves the captain of their neighborhood watch, because that's what, essentially, if you're listening to this program, that's what you are. You, yourself, the listeners are a watchman. And if you're the block captain, call the neighborhood together. Because, man, we've got problems in the neighborhood, don't we? and that's what this is. And, you know, hence the name. And when you were saying, Hear the Watchman, This is you, the listener, calling the neighbors together and say, look, we've got problems. And not only do we have problems, but here are the solutions, just as you would say, put up the light, you know, put up some lighting, put up, you know, whatever, cut down your shrubs. So, you know, but these are, you will get not only a sit rep, as we call it, a status report of what the problems are on the block, but the influx of information and inspiration by the very people you put together, Mike, and of course Paul, and others. I mean, now you will get information and inspiration in addition to the sit rep. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
You know, Doug, I'm just going to jump in here, and I'm going to turn it over to Paul to drive it home. I just want to quote one of your chat room members, Maggie. You know, above all, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. That's what we're here to do, and that's why Here the Watchman is coming to Dallas. So God bless you guys. Paul, you want to go ahead and just take us home?
Yeah, on the note of love, which is so important, you know, we love the Lord thy God, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. And then in the book of John, 1 John, we read repeatedly how that, as Christians, we're to love one another, and the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples if we love one another. And I want to just bring this up front and center. It's been touched on, but one way that you can discern whether or not somebody who claims to be a Christian is truly a Christian, or they're truly walking under the control of the Holy Spirit, is, are they loving one another? Are they loving other members in the body of Christ? And if they, you see, if the Pharisees claimed to be loving and they ended up crucifying Jesus, there are a lot of people who justify their carnality, their hatred, and their judgmentalism because they have self-anointed themselves as, let's say, the knowing-all the defender of the faith. And what they do is they attack other believers. But if people are discerning, if you criticize another believer, if you are truly a man or woman who has been called by God, not called by yourself, you will always speak the truth in love. So you may admonish someone, but you're speaking the truth in love. When you read and hear comments by people who are taking sniper shots at other believers, and their remarks and words are devoid of love, well, it should be obvious to you, if you have any spiritual discernment, that they have not been called by God, and indeed they're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you should stay away, because they're weeds. They're not true believers. A true believer will always speak the truth in love and will always conduct themselves in a way where you love one another, because that's how the world knows that we're his disciples. The speakers at the conference, and this is one of the beautiful things, they don't all agree on many non-essential areas of Christianity. They don't all agree, let's say, on the timing of the rapture. They don't all agree on other things. Yet they're coming together, and despite their differences, they're loving one another, and that's the sign of a mature body of Christ. And that's why Here the Watchman is really going to be powerful, because you have men of God and women of God who have powerful messages, but they don't all agree with one another, but they've made a decision with their will to walk in the love of God towards one another. And that's what we're all called to do. Now, this Hear the Watchman conference, which is going to be March 18th to the 20th in Dallas, and there's still time for you to show up physically for that conference. If you register now, you can actually still physically attend the conference. And if you live anywhere near there, you should. Number two is, no matter where you live in the United States or the world, you can sign up for the live streaming. and you absolutely should. If you go to hearthewatchman.com, you should sign up for the live streaming, and you need to pray and invite people to your house and encourage and motivate your other friends to sign up for the Hear the Watchman conference live streaming. You know, you get hustling on the internet. Send it out to everybody. Tell them to do it, because if they don't do it, they're going to miss the message of it. Now, the other thing is, there are a number of things going on spiritually with the Hear the Watchman conference that the Lord is doing. And when we read the Bible, we often see that the Lord does many things at once. And some of the things that he does are not always apparent at first. So, for example, with the Hear the Watchman conference, we have the obvious. We have this powerful conference with these anointed speakers who have a powerful message to give. God's going to move through the power of the Spirit. People are going to fellowship together. We're going to love one another. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to experience restoration and revival, and people are going to be healed. People are going to be saved. People are going to be delivered. I'm prophesying to you now, but people are going to come to that conference in Dallas, and they are going to walk into that conference, and there's going to be a number of people who are going to be supernaturally delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit from all kinds of bondages. They're going to walk in there in bondage. They may not even know they're in bondage, but the power of God is going to touch them, and they will be supernaturally delivered. People will be healed emotionally. They'll be delivered. They'll be ministered to. Inner woundedness will be healed. God will give a very powerful prophetic message through many of the speakers. And God's going to invade the very center of this conference and move with his glory and his majesty and his truth. And that's exciting. I'm the kickoff speaker, and I speak at the first session. So if you want to hear me speak, you need to get there on time the first day. And I believe I speak at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, which is the first speaker. So please don't come to me afterwards and say, well, we didn't hear you speak, because I warned you I'm the first speaker. And then I have to jump on a plane. And now the other thing is, God's going to move on that level and across the world through this conference. But there's something else God is doing through this conference that is supernatural, and it is deeper and more profound than what your ordinary perception can see. So what I'm saying is that it's going to be a very powerful conference. People are going to be hooked into that conference through live streaming. Many people's lives are going to be changed and touched. All of that is going to be going on in one level. But you see, God knows what is going to happen in the future, and God is using this conference to accomplish a deeper and more widespread agenda from the kingdom of heaven. God is using this conference to begin something and to construct something and to complete something that most people probably aren't going to be aware of when they initially participate in it. But as time goes on, people are going to look back and they're going to be able to recognize, gee, God was up to something far bigger and deeper and greater than we realized when we just participated in the conference. So what I'm trying to say to you is that God has a whole level of plans that accompany this conference, that God is using this conference on far deeper levels than people realize. This conference is laying the ground for things that God wants to do in this nation prophetically and through his people. And God is not going to just reveal that casually or instantaneously. God is wiser than we are, but God is using this conference to do something far deeper, far more long-term than many people realize. Now, the reason I'm saying that is it's important for you to obey the Holy Spirit. as I said before, the Holy Spirit is speaking to many people and calling many people, and the Holy Spirit is asking you to attend, and he's asking you to sign up for live streaming, and he's asking you to invite people to your house to watch it with you. And that's a call from the Holy Spirit, and you have the choice to obey the Holy Spirit or to disobey the Holy Spirit. But in addition to that, the Lord is doing something far beyond that. And what you may not understand, many times God asks us to do something. Many times God gives us a choice where he's asking that we obey him without fully understanding the full reason for why it is he's calling us to do something. So what I'm telling you is that for those of you that are hearing the Holy Spirit and are willing to obey him, your willingness to obey God, to sign up for the live streaming, involves a lot more than what you think it does, because your obedience is going to allow God to do a number of other things through your life and through your obedience that relates to this live streaming and this conference that God isn't going to disclose to you right up front, but it's going to be apparent to you after you make the choice to obey the Lord and do it. God is going to reveal to you further down the road all the reasons why he called you to obey him to do this. What I'm trying to tell you, without laying out all the cards, is God's got a far bigger game going on here than what you may perceive on just a basic level. God is way ahead of us, and he needs you to obey him at this level so God can accomplish his master plan, if you will. And you'll understand what that master plan is, but he's not going to reveal it to those people who aren't obeying him. He reveals it to those people who obey him. I can't tell you how many times in my life where the Lord has told me to obey him on what I thought was a rather insignificant level. And, you know, as usual, I was somewhat resistant. And then when I finally obeyed him and it didn't appear to be that big of a deal, all of a sudden, time went by and I said, wow, Lord, that's why you wanted me to do this. Because my obedience in what seemed to be a rather small area was the very thing that opened up all kinds of areas. You see, that happens in all of our lives. The ministry that I have today, which is worldwide, didn't happen in one swoop. It happened through a series of me being willing to obey the Lord in what appeared to be somewhat insignificant and small things. I'll give you an example. I began my ministry career speaking to groups of businessmen in restaurants, and I would speak before about five businessmen on average. And the only thing I got out of it is they gave me a free salad bar lunch, and these weren't, you know, really high-end restaurants. But I obeyed the Lord every time these businessmen would invite me to speak at their luncheons, five people for a salad bar. I obeyed him, and I spoke faithfully, just as if I would speak to 5,000 people. I spoke faithfully in the most obscure places for years. Obscure. When I mean obscure, I'm talking about obscure. They would be embarrassing to bring people to. Now, I did that for years, and I did many other things for years.
Don't want to cut you short, Paul, but we are in the last 30 seconds of the program. Just
I'm
to let
sorry.
You know.
All I'm trying to say, and thank you for reminding me, is that it's important for you to obey the Lord, sign up for live streaming, because you don't know what else God has in mind for you. But it's important for you to walk through this door. So I encourage you, sign up for the live streaming and invite people over to your house. A lot more is hanging in the balance than you realize.
Amen. Thank you so much, Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. And Mike, thank you again. Have a great night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.